everyone, and welcome to Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for all things Atlanta Braves minor leagues. I'm your host, Gaurav, and with the draft in the rear view, our attention turns back now to our updated mid-season top 30 list. Joining me today are Garrett Spain and the return of Joe Carson. So sit back, grab some popcorn, and get ready for an exciting episode of Peach State Prospects. All right. Well, the last couple of weeks have been absolutely chaotic for the three of us. You know, Joe, I know you've been super busy with work and with the MLB draft. Garrett, I don't know how you're still alive with the amount of writing you've done for both the Braves and the A's. I'm excited to now sit back and focus back on the Braves system. And as I said, today's episode is going to be going over our top 30 list, our mid-season top 30 list, where we've involved some of the new Braves draft picks, as well as some of the recent news, such as Spencer Schwellenbach graduating, the Darius Vines being designated for assignment, and the such like that. So kicking off our list from 25 to 30, number 30 is the addition of Daisbell Hernandez. 29, Robert Gonzalez. He falls four spots. But again, a lot of this has to do with a lot of the new players coming in, a lot of new draft picks. And of course, a lot of the we spent a lot of time in the first half of the season focusing on these performances and going over data. So that's kind of why you'll see the movement that you have seen. So again, Robert Gonzalez sitting at number 29, down four spots. Coming in at 28. Of course, we had to include Ian Mejia, who had a spectacular first half. He's been the captain of the Mississippi Braves rotation, despite the fact that they've had Spencer Schwellenbach and Hurston Waldrop there. Coming in at 27 is Dylan Dodd, who's dropped 16 spots in our list. And then finally at 26 sits Isaiah Drake. Garrett, I want to go to you first. Any general thoughts and feelings about those five players and potentially, you know, why you rank some of them the way you did?
Yeah. So two that I really want to talk about here, Daisbell Hernandez. I think we all agree that, like, you know, because he has options, the Braves have kind of floated him back and forth between the major leagues and the minor leagues. But, you know, his fastball's taken a step forward this year. And I think that he's a guy that we're pretty confident is going to be one of the pitchers on the postseason roster. So, you know, if you're looking for, like, the next guy that's really going to get a consistent shot to, you know, make an impact, that's kind of the guy. You know, we've seen him up. He's had success at the major league level. I think he has, like, the third lowest FIP on the team, on the Braves team, you know, in a limited amount of innings. So that's pretty impressive. But I know, you know, the biggest drop on our list is Dylan Dodd. He went down 16 spots. And, you know, there are a couple of things that we've seen with him. You know, his velocity starting to dip again now that he's starting more consistently, getting deeper into the season. But I think the biggest thing, and we pointed this out a couple of weeks ago, was he has a very significant difference in his release point between his fastball and all of his other pitches. You know, for some of his pitches, it's 4 to 5 inches. For his, you know, slider, between a slider and his fastball, it's a 7-inch difference in his release. And because of that, Dodd is very predictable, and it's easy to read the pitches out of his hand for hitters. And that's one of the reasons why we've kind of looked at him and said, well, his stuff is better and his command is better than his performances. And that's really one of the reasons that we feel that he struggled more than we've expected him to, is just because he's easier for hitters to read. And it's something that it is fixable, but they haven't really done it. And it's been a consistent problem for him for 2 years now. And I think you look at that profile and you say, he hasn't really added a true pitch that you kind of can project to be a strikeout pitch. He hasn't had success at the major league level. He's struggling even at AAA with those hitters. And so for us, I think that we're not necessarily completely out on him. I wouldn't mind seeing him more in a relief role, but unless he fixes that release point issue, I really don't think he's even a major league pitcher. It's just such a big issue for him.
You know, simply said, thanks for that, Garrett. When Garrett was digging into that data about Dylan Dodd's release point, I straight up asked a former major leaguer, what his thoughts on, could you perceive that kind of difference if you knew going in the release point was going to be different between fastball and curveball? And you know, simply said, it was like, no, I could see that in my sleep. So unless Dodd makes those adjustments, he just, you know, for me, doesn't profile as a major leaguer. Joe, let's hear from you. What are your thoughts on 25 through 30?
I just want to kind of talk. Basically, my feelings are the same on Dylan Dodd. I think he's one of those guys that everyone was a little bit excited about last year, especially in spring training. He showed up and really kind of burst onto the scene. I think there were some high hopes for him, but the Dylan Dodd that you see right now is just not the same that warranted that excitement last year. So I think that there are some valid concerns. And like you said, that the feedback that you got from a hitter, when you get to that level, when you're something that obvious, I mean, you're just not going to be able to have success, especially when you don't have an overpowering, you know, fastball that you're going to blow by somebody. So unless, you know, he can figure something out to fix that, and then, like you said, or get into a relief role where he can play up a little bit, that stuff can play up some. I don't know that he's a major league player right now, which is disappointing. Again, as Garrett said with Daisbell Hernandez, I completely agree. I think, honestly, he'd be more consistently on the big league roster, except for the Braves don't have many optionable relievers right now. So it's not like they in the past where they've had multiple players that are swapping in and out when they need a fresh arm. So the spots for him to actually be on the roster are pretty limited. However, when you do get to the postseason and you just kind of want some guy who can miss bats with some velocity, he definitely is one of those guys going to be a top option to fill one of those last spots in the bullpen. I just want to touch on Ian Mejia, new to our list. You know, he's someone that we talked about before, doesn't have the highest ceiling, but he's a really, really good pitcher. And that's not to take away from, you know, the ceiling thing's not to take away from him. He just, you know, I think he can carve out a career for himself at the major league level. He just doesn't have the high ceiling, and that's kind of what keeps him at the back end of our list.
Quickly going back to your words on Hernandez, that's a great point. Having options for him is almost like a curse because he can be sent down. Otherwise, that arm is a major league talent. He's got two pitches. He belongs in the majors, and I assume, like Garrett touched on, he'll good chance he makes that postseason roster should the Braves make the postseason. Of course, I'm going to speak that way because I don't want anyone to come back and say I jinxed anything. So that, and then moving forward next year, he looks to be a major key part of that Braves bullpen. Moving on to 21 through 25, coming in at number 25 is the new draft pick, Nick Montgomery, big power hitting catcher. 24 comes in with Adam Meyer, who has dropped 11 spots in our rankings. 23 is Hayden Harris, who has moved up 6 spots and is now sitting in AAA. 22, Cade Kuehler, is down 6 spots in our rankings as well. And then 21 is Alan Winans, who has dropped a couple. Joe, I'm going back to you first. Any comments on those 5 players?
Yeah, I'm going to touch on a couple, but I'm going to leave Hayden Harris for Garrett. Because I think that's someone that deserves Garrett's, you know, knowledge and the time that he's put into scouting that guy. So I'm going to go Nick Montgomery. I think he's an exciting fifth round pick this year. One that I think we were all pretty excited when the Braves took a chance on him. Prep catcher with some pop, good arm, projected to stay there behind the plate. Really exciting player. So he was kind of an easy pick for us to put on this list. We're excited to see him kind of get in there and actually get to watch him play more often. The one that's a little disappointing in this section of the list, Adam Meyer, I think we all had higher hopes for him coming into this year. He was finally going to be healthy, get on the mound more consistently. And I think that the Braves were pretty high on him. We were all kind of high on him. As you can see, we had him up in the top half of our top 30 at the beginning of the year. And his just performance has been a little bit underwhelming. And you know, it's just the strikeouts, he's striking out more than a batter an inning. He's not really walking a lot of guys, but he just isn't getting great results. And he's thrown only 50 or so innings this year. Just really expected more out of him this year.
Garrett, what about you?
Yeah, so on Meyer, I like the progress he's made this year. He's at, you know, as he's gone throughout the year, his velocity started to tick up a little bit, but he's missed a lot of time now. We don't really, you know, he's not even on the injured list. At least last time I checked, he's not on the injured list. But he hasn't pitched in a while, so now you have another injury concern to kind of throw in there. That's one of the reasons that he's dropped, is he's just not pitching enough. And you know, he's drafted in 2022. He's, you know, and now 2 years later, he's thrown 50 innings and we don't really know what his status is. So that's disappointing. Kuehler would be a lot higher on the list. He just recently went down and is going to go underwent Tommy John surgery. he was a guy who was having a great season. His stuff had backed up going into this year, so there was a little bit of a concern there about that. But, you know, his command improved. He looked like a guy who could fit at the back end of a rotation. Unfortunately, he's probably going to miss most, if not all, of next year. So that's very disappointing for him. But looking at Hayden Harris, it's such a weird profile. I mean, averaging a little bit over 92 and a half miles per hour on his fastball. He doesn't even have great vertical approach. I mean, he doesn't even have great vertical movement on the pitch, but he throws from such a low slot and he commands that pitch up at the top of the zone so well that last time I checked, now his last start was very bad, so this may not be true anymore, but the last time I had checked, he had the highest whiff rate on fastballs of any pitcher in AAA this year. And that's well over 600 guys that had thrown that many fastballs. I mean, elite performance from that pitch, and a pitch that he uses 80% of the time and he'll still have success with. So that's a guy that, with that pitch alone and with his command of that pitch, a pretty safe middle relief floor, a guy that probably in most organizations is in the major leagues right now. The Braves have so many good pitchers, especially good lefties, that he doesn't have a space with them right now, but he's a guy that if he was in another organization or if the Braves had not had so much success out of their bullpen this year, I think he would already be in the major leagues. You know, the biggest question for him, you know, we know he's working on a splitter. The slider isn't missing a ton of bats because he isn't locating it very well right now. I think that's kind of the next step for him, is if he's commands one of those two secondaries better, then all of a sudden you look at the guy as maybe even a seventh, eighth inning type guy, just with the amount of success that he's had. But, you know, for right now, middle relief floor, a guy who could come up to the major leagues and succeed right now. And even though the fastball is 92, it's an easy 70 grade, maybe even better fastball. He's gotten elite results out of that. And it's really interesting to see that profile work the way it has.
My quick thoughts on those five, Nick Montgomery, if he hits and he stays at catcher, that is going to 100% be a top 100 player. So much to like about him. Meyer, again, tough. Been a bit of a tough year. Hayden Harris, like you said, profiles as a major league reliever, and he probably is a major league reliever if he's on any other team. Keeler, availability is always the top skill set. Him just missing so much time is really hurting his stock. And then, of course, Alan Winans coming in at 21. We pretty much know what Winans is. He is a quad A / major league pitcher. In a different organization, he's probably a number five and getting, you know, pretty consistent starts. But unfortunately for him, also fortunately, he is with the Atlanta Braves. As I say this, I hope it's not the same, but EJX, no, he's staying in the game. All right. It's very similar play to Ozzie Albies with a tag for EJ Exposito, but he seems to be fine. Moving on to 16 to 20, coming in at 20 is David McCabe, who made his season debut yesterday for the Mississippi Braves. He's down five spots at 20. Number 8-19, Ambiorix Tavares, who actually moved up eight spots, and I can't wait to hear from the two of you about this ranking. Number 18 is a new member to our list, Jeremy Reyes. We've talked about him quite a few times. He finds himself sitting again at number 18. Drew Hackenberg, who has been insanely hot over the past 2 weeks. He had that 16 strikeout performance and followed it up with another six strikeout performance over five innings. And then finally coming in at 16 is the new draft pick, Luke Senard. Garrett, I'm going to you first. Overall thoughts on 16 through 20.
Jeremy Reyes, another one that is kind of disappointing. He's injured right now. When he left his last start, he was kind of pointing to the shoulder. Now, we don't know if that actually is why he's out right now, but that's kind of what we're working with, right, is was he pointing to when the trainer came out? You know, kind of seemed like the hope was maybe it was just a precautionary thing, but he's on the IL right now. And with these young guys, you know, Reyes is 18. There's really no reason to take any chances. So if he's a little hurt, he has plenty of time to develop. Just shut him down. His stuff looked good. His command was very far behind. And so that's a guy that he's going to take a little bit of time, but he flashed three pitches that are major league quality. At, you know, 18-year-olds usually don't have three pitches. It's very rare to have that. And so having a fastball that sits in the mid 90s, having a changeup already that has flashed like he has a good feel for it, a slider that could be an above average pitch. That's a really good pitch mix for him. And I'm excited to kind of see how he develops and how that command develops for him. But I think he's a guy that could really be one of those players that has a high enough ceiling that you can kind of rely on him as even a postseason type starter. He's a very talented guy. And I with pitchers, I really look for, when I'm looking at pitchers, I'm looking for guys that are good enough to be one of the top three starters in a good rotation, right? There is value, of course, in those back end guys, but there's only so much value for a guy that's really not going to pitch for you in the postseason, right? For a team like the Braves. Reyes is a guy that has the sort of talent that, you know, it would be 5 years down the road, but he has that sort of talent that he could fit into that type of role, and I'm excited about him. Tavares, hopefully he gets back on the field this year. I'm really looking forward. I mean, phenomenal defender. Really seemed like he was making strides in his contact and in his approach. And, you know, some of his rise is you look at the guys next to him, you know, injured guy, guy who struggled, guy who's been injured. So some of his rise is just other players haven't been playing, but a lot of it is just the progress that he made in such a short time was impressive. And I'm really looking forward to how he performs. And is Giancarlo Solera hurt?
Yeah, I'm watching that right now, and I'm not too pleased. But any closing thoughts on that section of players, Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, just McCabe, McCabe's got to move fast. I mean, and he's really got to hit. He's the first base DH type. Now that he's injured, he's, you know, came in overweight last year. It's not really looking good for him. He definitely has one of the highest offensive ceilings in the system. I mean, power bat, great approach at the plate. It's just going to be a matter of how much he hits, and he has the bat to stick as the first base DH, but it's not very likely that he does. Unfortunately, I just don't think he's a third baseman.
Well, it looks like Giancarlo Solera is staying in the game, which is always some good news. Joe, I want to hear from you. Any thoughts on those 16 through 20 players?
Yeah, first of all, I'm just sick of injuries. So if we can just please, like, not have – I'm really getting tired of injury scares. Echo some of the stuff that Garrett said about McCabe. I'm glad that he's back on, seems to be back on the field now. As many are aware, he had elbow surgery. And as Garrett said, one of the higher ceiling bats in the system coming into the year. He can hit. It's just the defensive concerns kind of limit him, because, you know, I think he's had some issues with bat speed. He does have power, but it's kind of one of those things where it's going to be interesting to see how that bat plays at the upper levels. And also, as Garrett said, it's kind of, he has to kind of hit his ceiling to be able to play as a first baseman DH type. So the defensive concerns are another reason why he dropped along with the injury issues. Tavares, it's very clear watching him why he was such a high priority for the Braves when he was signed. He's got a lot of tools, a phenomenal defender. But also, if you look at his stat line this year, you might be wondering why he climbed eight spots in our rankings. But that's because he got off to a horrific start this year. And unfortunately, on the injury side, he got hurt right as things started to click. And Garrett can correct me if I'm wrong here, but he looked like a completely different player for the couple weeks right before his injury than he was the beginning of the year. And, it was very exciting to see some flashes of what the Braves saw when they signed him. And honestly, we thought he was turning a corner, and then the injury came at the worst possible time for him. And then number 16, Luke Senard, draft pick this year by the Braves, big, big right-hander. Got a fastball in the mid to low 90s. Had injury this year, missed part of the year, but I know that you guys all touched it on the draft, but I'm excited to see him when he finally gets on the mound too.
All right, coming in for slots 15 through 11, we got the new addition of John Heel, who's currently over in, actually you're doing quite well for the Green Jackets. 14 is the new draft pick, Carter Holton out of Vanderbilt. 13, we find Giancarlo Solera, who fell four spots. But again, that has more to do regarding the addition of a few players and some movement from other guys. Number 12 is Blake Burkhalter, the draft pick out of Auburn, who should be moving quite rapidly. Right now, the Braves still have him as a starting pitcher. I think he profiles more as a reliever and should be, you know, charging for a bullpen spot as early as next year. And then finally at 11, the pitcher for the Augusta Green Jackets right now, who's pitching a fantastic game already and seems to be, you know, pretty regular thing, Didier Fuentes. Joe, I want to go to you first. Any thoughts on these five guys?
A couple guys that I want to talk about. John Gill, it's just an impressive. You watch him play, and it's one of those players that just jumps off immediately when you watch him, and he stands out. And I know we've seen some videos pop up of him on the timeline from some scouting videos, and he's a player that I think. Kind of get off topic here, but I think that we've had some discussions between the three of us here, and I feel like the Braves system is a little bit underrated. I'm not saying by any means they're a top 10 system, but guys like John Gill, Didier Fuentes, some of these guys we're going to talk about in our top 10, I think they're being severely underrated by some of these sites that write about prospects, and I don't know if it's because they haven't watched them, because a lot of these younger guys, especially at haven't been stateside long, if at all. So there's not a lot of video available on them. They're not able to see them a lot. But also, I think the Braves keep a lot of their info close to the vest. So I think that when these guys start catching on and people start seeing, I think the system's going to be rated a little bit more where we think it should be. But John Gill and Didier Fuentes has been unbelievable this year. He is someone who, if you haven't heard his name, you're going to hear a lot more of his name here soon. Very exciting player. We've been talking about this, he hasn't struck out less than a batter in an outing since April. Like, he's those two guys, I think, are the ones that are really two to keep an eye on in this part of our list.
Fuentes turned 19 like 2 months ago, and you know, start of the season with three pitches. And Garrett, this is a perfect segue to you. What are your thoughts on 11 through 15? I know you were one of the first people to really hop on that Fuentes train, and boy, has it paid off. What are your thoughts on those five?
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and start with Fuentes since we kind of led into that. You know, he's a guy that one of the things I wanted to see him do is add a changeup. He's throwing it. It's not great yet, but you know, he's 19, athletic, great arm speed. So it's something that you can kind of project to, but I mean, his fastball slider combo is fantastic. There were times, you know, a lot of times last year he was 91 to 94, and you know, his velocity was inconsistent. He's up to 97, you know, in this game that he's throwing right now. You know, his velocity does dip down later in games, but again, he's young, still adding strength. A guy that, you know, you're looking at him maybe sitting mid to upper 90s with a wipeout slider and, you know, 3-4 pitches maybe, and he commands his fastball. I mean, an upper 90s fastball that you command is, for at any age, is a weapon, and for him to be doing it at 19 is ridiculous. I think he's the guy that nationally people are way, way too low on. This guy, like, he is a clear, like, not only is he a top 30 guy, I mean, obviously our ranking reflects that, but he's a clear, easy top 30 type pitcher that, you know, look, he needs to refine his changeup quite a bit, but the base of what he has right now is really impressive. You know, looking at Hill, he's the funniest player because he'll hit a ball on the ground and he'll be like, oh, he might beat that one out. And then it flashes over to first base and he's not even on the screen anymore. He's gone so far. One of the fastest people I've ever seen on the baseball field, has some power. You know, he's a bit, you know, a lot of room in his frame to grow into power. He has a swing that really is geared to where he can hit for power too. So really, he's, you know, he's that guy that the main thing with him is going to be the approach. I think that he makes contact at a high rate. I think he has bat speed. I think he has all the physical tools. It's just going to be a matter of getting to them and having the approach to get there in terms of getting a good look at breaking balls. Again, very typical for these 18-year-olds to not have a good feel for breaking pitches. So I'm not really worried about him. Lara really got off to a slow start this year because of the injury that slowed down him getting into the season, but he's gotten stronger and stronger. And now we're looking at a guy that, you know, they're definitely working through different pitches, but that fastball slider combo is so good. He's been able to kind of vary the shape on a slider somewhat. And that pitch has taken a huge step forward this year. He's a guy that I think he's a reliever. I just don't think that the command, I don't think the third pitch is there for him to be a starter, but he definitely has the potential, as much potential as anybody in the system with a fastball up into triple digits. I think I'm higher on Blake Burkhalter than any of us. I think he could be a starter. I think all four of his pitches could be above average major league pitches. I think his cutter could be plus or better. Same with his slider. Right now though, the issue with him, and part of it, I think, is the Tommy John recovery, is he's not commanding all of his pitches very well. Mostly he's commanding his fastball, kind of commanding his cutter, and he's not really getting his curveball and changeup anywhere near the zone. And that's really been his issue and why he hasn't missed as many bats as we had hoped. But I think if the command takes a step forward next year, once he's had more chances to get reps, it's a guy that I think could have four above average pitches. And there's not many guys in baseball that have that deep of an arsenal. I actually think that he could be a very good major league starter, though. I do think with the injury history and not really seeing command right now, obviously it's more likely that he does end up as a reliever.
It is, of course, important to note that when it comes to Tommy John surgery, it's the command that typically comes last. So definitely going to have to be someone to watch for next season. Very interesting notes on your evaluation of Blake. Mine was slightly different. You got me a lot more excited about him. So that's really a good thing. And yeah, John Heel, there was a simple play to, you know, mid short that I saw last week. And by the time the shortstop got it over to first, that man was like already coming back to the bag because he had already sprinted to first, came to a stop, turned around and was heading back, like just insane speed. And of course, we've talked about Carter in our draft episodes. And then, like you said, when it comes to Lara, massive arm, so much to like. He is tinkering with both a splinker and a curveball, still relatively raw, trying to figure out what is going to be his overall progression. And Didier Fuentes, you know, he gave up a two-run of home run after, like, not more than 2 seconds after you praise him so much, but there's just so much to like about him. And I do believe major publications have a bit of a miss when it comes to ranking Didier. Heading to 6 through 10, our biggest riser, none other than Lucas Braun coming in at number 10. He moved up 18 spots on our ranking. Number 9 is Nacho Alvarez, who dropped 3. Again, not so much about Nacho, more along the lines of the people who are added to the organization. Number 8, Luis Guanipa, he moved down 1 spot. Number 7, Braves first-round pick Cam Caminiti. And then coming in at number 6 is Jose Perdomo. Garrett, I want to go to you first. Any thoughts on 6 through 10?
Yeah, I think the reason Braun's gone up so much is because I've been the one in the group chat like, hey guys, watch Correct. This guy. He's really, really good. Braun's a really interesting guy. Definitely doesn't have the ceiling of some of the guys below him, guys like Fuentes. He doesn't have that same level of ceiling. He's more of a 4-5, but he's a guy that I said 2 months ago, I'm like, this guy could probably be in the major leagues this year if they really wanted to rush him. And I think that he could, I think he'll be one of those guys that are in the major leagues next year. And one of those guys that kind of comes in and out in that fifth starter spot, plus slider, throws 4 pitches, great command of his fastball, kind of in the low 90s. If he adds a little bit of velocity, you could definitely see him as a mid rotation starter. But I think, you know, low 90s fastball with his slider, that's a guy that projects to the back end of a rotation fairly easily and can really fill up innings. Great command. I'm really high on him, and I think that he's going to be a guy that gets in the major leagues quickly and sticks there for a while. You know, we've seen some of those kind of quad A guys where they don't really have a strikeout pitch, or in the case of Winans and Vines, they're kind of, they have that strikeout changeup, but they don't really have the velocity to have success with the fastball. Braun has a strikeout pitch with his slider. He has a deep arsenal, and he can command his fastball in the low 90s. So that's a guy that he has enough in there to really feel like he can stick as a starter long term. Guanipa is a guy I really like. I'm the highest on Guanipa as well. I know that. I think that he's similar-ish to, not nearly on the same level again, but similar-ish to where Acuña was at that same age, where he has to have a better approach on curveballs. The swing path's a bit flat. He's a little bit too, line drive, ground ball focused. Once they get in his head and have him pulling the ball in the air with his bat speed, with his explosiveness, that's a guy that's going to hit a lot of home runs, makes contact at a high rate. The approach remains to be seen, but he's a guy that I really think, if you're looking at any player in the system, position player wise, that could be a superstar, I think he's the one player that you look at and you say, yeah, that's a guy that could be a perennial all-star type talent. He's really impressively talented.
We do not take lightly putting anyone in the same sentence as Ronald Acuña. When Ronald was coming up, Garrett and I, along with Eric Cole and Matt Powers, were the number of times where he blew our mind with pretty much everything he did was astronomical. So the mere idea of him, of Luis being in the same sentence as him, is quite the praise. And like Garrett, I'm also a huge fan of him. He's got the hit tool. Like Garrett said, right now it's a little direct, the bat path, and he's hitting a lot of line. I just love to see him hit the ball in the air more, but he's so young, so much to like, got great bat speed. The biggest question with Ronald when he was in Rome for me was, can he handle the breaking ball? He answered that question that season when he went down to the Australian Baseball League, where I saw him just absolutely hammer the curveball multiple times. And it was like, okay, well, this guy's just a freak. It'll be really interesting. I do not expect that from Luis. That's another level to be someone like Ronald Acuña. But if you see those changes in Luis, he's going to be off and running, and he's going to be a player you absolutely cannot miss, especially while he's down in the minors and you're able to spend like $3 to go see him. Joe, let's hear from you. What are your thoughts on those five players?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people that, again, I said it before, but this is the part of the Braves system. Again, there's a lot of players on here, this top 10 to be excited about. And one of the things is Garrett touched on it with Winnie, but he's very, very young. He won't even he's 18, won't be 19 until December. So, I mean, he would be basically a draft eligible senior in high school if he was states, in the States. Jose Perdomo's extremely young, just signed last year. And then Cam Caminiti, first round pick, was the youngest player in the draft this year. So a lot of high upside there, but also really, really young players. So there's going to be some growing pains, of course, but there's things with Wanipa's game. I remember the stories you guys used to tell us about watching Ronald Acuña and hearing the sound off his bat, and immediately you knew he was good. He was just different. And you could tell. And I remember we would send messages to each other with like box scores of Luis Wanipa's lines, like, dude, look what he did today. Look what, every day it seemed like he was hitting extra base hit or getting two hits. And he's a player that, well, again, it's high praise to compare someone to Ronald Acuña Jr. He's someone that is immediately caused excitement, and Jose Perdomo was one of the top international prospects of this past signing period. So he's, again, very, very young, but lots of tools there, and finally got on the field a little bit. But they've been very, very careful with him. He hasn't played much. But again, this group of five is very, very young, very high upside, and just really, really easy to get excited about. I want to talk also a little bit about Nacho Alvarez, and I want to just make sure that we make something clear. He dropped three spots in our list, which has a lot to do with the rise of Perdomo, Cam Caminiti jumping up, and then Drake Baldwin making a massive leap. We'll get into him in the next group of five. But also, Nacho, I don't want people to think that him dropping in our list and then his performance after his call-up mean that we're really down on him. I think we all agree that he was not quite ready for that call up, and I don't think the Braves really wanted to call him up either. They kind of just got put in a position where they had no choice. And there's some things about him that are that you really like. The OBP, the contact skills there are things that you really, really like. The fact that he plays middle infield. but the bat just needs a little bit more work, and that's hitting the ball with authority to the pull side in the air. His approach just looks like he's trying to push everything to the right side, and it's just that's not something that's going to lead to long-term success in the big leagues. And it's one of those things where I remember messaging you, Gaurav, that there was a play earlier this week where he kind of went around an outside pitch and pulled it to shortstop for a double play, and I was like, that's the pitch he tries to pull. Like, there's just things, and I think he just was rushed, and I'm hoping that he stays down the rest of this year, works on his game, and it comes back next year with those adjustments, because I really still have high hopes for him.
Just some quick thoughts, Joe. Well, that you talked about the Ronald stuff. That was back when Ronald was in Rome, and myself, Garrett, and Eric Cole were over in Rome itself, and we listened to him in batting practice. And the sound that Ronald made would consistently make during BP, you knew it was him hitting. During batting practice, you knew it was him hitting. That's the kind of, potential trajectory someone like Juanipa can have. Is a very talented player, a lot to like about him. Like Joe said about Nacho, it's not so much about his performance, more along the lines of how others have done. Nacho, we still like. He still got that major league floor, as he should be a serviceable utility man. Still struggling with that fastball. I think when I looked up his Savant page, he had a minus four run value against the fastball in his limited time in the majors. That is quite concerning, something that you can't really succeed with. So we'll have to see those kinds of adjustments and see how he progresses, especially the rest of the season, hopefully down in Gwinnett. Lucas Braun, someone that has that major league grade from Garrett. He's a sixth round pick, just tremendous scouting job. Cannot say that more. Tremendous scouting job by the Braves there. Jose Perdomo, I will be the first to admit, I'm sure Garrett and Joe will too, that the ranking with Jose more has to do with what we've heard than what we've seen. Because frankly, we haven't seen anything from him, but by all accounts, someone that the Braves are extremely high on, and high on his overall high-end potential. That brings us to the final grouping. That's picks five through one. Coming in at number five, and someone that we finally get to see again, J.R. Richey. He slides back one. Again, nothing to do about him. Number four, unfortunately, goes to Owen Murphy, who was just on this rocket ship before sitting, now going to be missing most of next season from Tommy John surgery. Number three is Hurston Waldrop, who falls from two. Number two is Drake Baldwin, who jumps up eight spots, and we're going to talk about him, I'm sure, but three of us are going to talk about him here shortly. And then sitting atop the list again is AJ Smith-Shawver. Joe, going to you first. What are your final thoughts about these five guys?
Yeah, I just want to talk. Pretty much, I hit a little bit on all five of them. First, number five, J.R. Richey. Excited to finally see him get on the mound. Just had really tough luck since being drafted. Just multiple injuries that kept him from seeing the field. But he's back now, and he's been looking really good. And it's not very difficult to see how he was a high target for the Braves when he was drafted, and it. Again, the injury set him back, but he was very young when he was drafted, so it's not like he's 26 years old, still very young. But there's a lot of talent in that arm, and excited to see him moving forward. Owen Murphy. Speaking of players that I feel other outlets have underrated a bit, Owen Murphy, because he's not someone who's overpowering with his fastball from a velocity standpoint. I think that people didn't necessarily understand how damn good he was. And he was one of those guys that just seemed to be able to put his fastball exactly where he wanted it very consistently. I think before he got hurt, he was knocking on the door of cracking that double A rotation. Just pretty much had nothing left to prove it down in Rome, and was kind of just embarrassing hitters at that level. Someone that we're really looking forward to progressing the rest of this year. Again, I think that because he doesn't throw 97, people don't give him the credit he deserves. But I think he has the makings of definitely a major league starter, and an exciting one. And hopefully he bounces back from his elbow surgery, and also again, be curious how his command comes back when he comes back the second half of next year. Waldrop, we saw him in the major leagues, and it's kind of like Nacho. I think he was rushed. I don't think he wasn't ready quite yet. He has some issues he has to work out. Everyone sees how devastating his splitter can be, but when that's the only pitch that you can really throw effectively, major league hitters are going to just eat you alive. So if he can work on his fastball command and usage, and take a step forward there, still has the makings of a big time starter, with the floor of a late inning dominant reliever. So definitely still the he's definitely still up there, and I don't want people to be down on him, or Nacho for the brief stints in the major leagues, but he definitely has some work to do to get to his ceiling. Drake Baldwin, I think this is a player that the three of us have been kind of all over this year. Flat out, he's a big league player. I think he could ca be called up to the major leagues today and hold his own with the bat. The unfortunate part for him, much like Daisbell Hernandez, he just doesn't have a spot, because he's a really, really good catcher. Definitely defensively, better than some of the catchers that the Braves have had in their system that have been praised as you know, some defensive wizard, but he doesn't
I
have the
wonder who
arm
you're
of,
talking about, Joe.
yeah, I, you know, some that we may have traded to the A's for another catcher. No, I'm sorry, for a first baseman. But regardless, you know, he doesn't have the arm that a Shea Langeliers has, but he definitely is better defensively, and he hits a hell of a lot better. He's a left-handed hitter that definitely could, again, could be in the major leagues right now. There just isn't a spot when you have Travis d'Arnaud and Sean Murphy as your catching tandem. I think that next year there's a possibility that Travis d'Arnaud hangs it up. I mean, unless he just keeps hitting two home runs a game, you know. But I think you have to find a way to get him on that roster next year, because you're doing him a disservice if you're keeping him down the minors. And then AJ Smith-Shawver, just we've had a full episode on him. Like, we all still believe that he is the same person we thought he was at the beginning of the year. Dominant fastball. I mean, the sinker. I mean, sorry, the splitter. You know, for me, it's just a matter of is command and control, because if he is harnessing that, he's a frontline starter. And I'm hoping that he gets some starts here to finish out the year, because even if he's not starting, he's definitely a weapon out of the bullpen in the postseason, much like Daisbell Hernandez.
Yeah, that Smith-Shawver split change up, whatever you want to call it, was absolutely devastating. That his last start is so much to like about him, just a pristine prospect and someone that I hope the Braves hold on to because there's so much to like about him. As of right now, Giancarlo Lara is now through six innings and he is absolutely dealing. It's one hell of a game from him. But Garrett, let's hear from you. What are your thoughts on players 5 through 1?
Yeah, I'll go top up to you know, Richie. I think, you know, the question a lot of people would have would be, why have we stuck with him even though he hasn't pitched? And really, I think the health concerns is the only reason he's not top three for me. I would have him, you know, in terms of pure talent, above a guy like Waltrip, because, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, what are the best first impressions? This is the guy type of things that I've seen. And obviously Ronald Acuña Jr., Spencer Strider, top of the list, right? And then you go to guys like Michael Harris, Michael Soroka, Ozzie Albies, those guys that you watch them and they were the best player on the field. And it was very obvious they were from the beginning. You know, and J.R. Ritchie is one of those that I would put as one of the best I've seen right out of the gates. He was so good, and it was such a short period of time, unfortunately, that you look at that talent, and that's easy top 100 talent, and a guy that was going to go way up top 100 list if he had stayed healthy. It's just that health has always been a concern since, you know, high school. He lost velocity late in games in high school. Then he comes in the major into the professional ranks, immediately gets hurt. So I think that's the biggest concern with him. But if you're looking at pure talent, pure pitching talent, he's one of the top two guys in there with Smith Shawver in terms of, the top two talents in the system. I really think that he's that type of player as long as he can show that he's healthy. Murphy is a guy that I think that one of the reasons people are down on him is because his velocity isn't what it was in high school, right? So it's a disappointment. But I don't think that that really goes to show the progression he's made in terms of his command. He's had, I think his curveball is very, very good. One of the best curveballs I've seen. I pointed out when he was in Augusta the first time right after his draft year, I was like, that's maybe the best curveball I've seen since, Touki Toussaint. And now it's gotten less consistent. This year I think that they're working to get him extending a little bit more, and they're working on the slider. And so his breaking ball shapes have been a little inconsistent, and he hasn't commanded them very well. But both of them have the potential to be major league quality pitches. I think that fastball could be a plus pitch or better. We haven't seen a changeup from him. I think that's the next step for him. But he's also a guy that you look at the high level athleticism, you have a lot of confidence that he can develop a changeup. Waldrop's a guy that, yeah, like you said, I mean, I think the biggest concern is the elbow. How, what does he look like when he comes back? How, is he going to stay healthy? But overall, I mean, we all said it before he was called up. He's not ready for this. This is way too quick of a step. But if you take those starts out of it and you look at his body of work before that, it was dominance and he was more than you expected. And he's dropped a ton simply because he had a couple of bad major league starts. But I don't think that that's fair to him. Nationally, he's dropped a ton, not in our eyes. And I don't think that's fair to him. And he's a guy that I think if they go on the right development path, he's a guy that could still fit mid rotation or better. Drake Baldwin, of course, he's been pretty much all I've talked about for a couple of months now, and for good reason. His contact rates in the zone against lefties and righties are around, in the high 80s, and 80.2% is the major league average, just for a reference. And he's been around 88%, 87, 88% against both lefties and righties. I think that's one of the biggest progressions for him is he has gone from a guy that I thought was a platoon bat to a guy that is crushing lefties right now. That's such a big step for him. And look, breaking balls are still, left-handed sliders are still a little bit of a challenge for him. He struggles on fastballs up in the zone. Both of those things are issues for him that would give him trouble at the major league level. But this is a guy that every time we've had a question about him, he's answered it, right? We were worried about his contact when he came into the major leagues, and he came into the double A this year and started making a ton more contact. We were worried about his approach. Well, he's drawing a ton of walks. We were worried about his defense. Well, he's easily an average or better defender now. So he's a guy that I think is a starter for a lot of teams, could be a very good player, and he has questions to answer, but he's so far, he's answered every question we've had for him. So there's no reason for me to not be confident that he's going to continue to answer the questions that pop up, and he's done a good job of making adjustments. And AJ Smith-Shawver, the numbers don't look good this year, but he's been better than that. He struggled with, they've made major changes to his delivery. He's ex more extension. He's getting more downhill. His arm angle is a little bit lower. And so he's kind of struggling with the pitch shapes, especially his slider shape. He's struggling with that. And so command just hasn't been there for him, but the fastball has jumped up in terms of its velocity. The changeup has gone from, an average pitch last year to one of the best pitches in the system. I mean, an easy 60, maybe a 65 changeup. And, the curveball and slider have both had success when he's located it well. It's just been a matter of, his numbers haven't been good because he hasn't been locating very well. I think with the athleticism, with the makeup of Smith-Shawver, I'm very confident that that's going to come in time. And it's just a matter of the adjustments that look, he's 21. He shouldn't even be in AAA right now. The fact that he's struggling in AAA isn't a concern for me. It's a matter of this is where kind of where you would expect him to be given his prep experience. And, he's taking his, he didn't take his lumps at the lower levels. He's taking them now, but I think that he's going to come out on the other side and be one of those guys that the Braves can rely on at the top of the rotation for a number of years.
Even with AJ Smith-Shawver taking his lumps, like you say, he's still having a very solid season for the Stripers, and there's so much to like about him. So, like you said, that changeup, it was for me, that was an easy plus pitch for him his last start, and it was just devastating against left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters. It's something crazy to see, and it's very fast development from him. But yeah, that was just there's a lot to like about the shape and the direction that the Braves farm system is taking, and adding players like a Cam Caminiti at number 24 is absolutely ridiculous. The international scouting team has also done a phenomenal job when you were able to add someone like a John Heel who slots in at 15 for us. John Carlos Lara having an outstanding game today. So much to like about his arm. Didier Fuentes, someone that hasn't been on the radar nationally, putting up zeros, putting up huge strikeout numbers. Like just overall, the overall direction that the Braves farm system has. And it was reflective by Fangraphs, who saw them. I think it was 16th overall, and last year they had him somewhere 25 to 28. So you're seeing the system as a whole start to improve. And what was relatively extremely top heavy, I would say, players 1 through 6, and the rest were just getting kind of rough grades. You're seeing that those kinds of, I would say, like MLB qualities now going 15, 16 deep, and that's a big change from where we have been, and especially upon the graduation of the likes of, when Ronald, when Austin Riley, when that wave was over, when the Braves system was very, very barren and they were under those international sanctions. It was rough past the top six, past the top eight. And now we're starting to see some higher quality depth, and it's something that is going to be huge, not just for the big league team, but then those are assets that you can use in a trade when you're able to go to your number 17th, when you're able to go to your number 19th prospect and have that be a wild card, someone that could really swing a trade in your favor. Like that's huge. And it's again just a fantastic job by the Braves, both the entire scouting team and the direction that the organization has taken in terms of who they're recruiting, how they evaluate talent. Just it's something that needs to be, get their kudos as well. But that was a lot from us. That is a wrap for today's episode of Peach State Prospects. We hope you enjoyed our mid-season top 30 and the reasoning behind some of those moves. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on social media for updates and more Braves-related content. Until next time, keep cheering on the Braves and stay tuned for more Peach State Prospects.